Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I wonder how many of you remember a movie called What About Bob? Show of hands, how many remember this film? Right, Bill Murray, Richard Dreyfuss. I think it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. Bill Murray plays this incredibly neurotic guy that turns to Richard Dreyfuss, who is a counselor and a psychiatrist, to heal him. And the adventures that they have in the intervening hour and a half or 2 hours are pretty funny. And we end up with Bill Murray being healed and Richard Dreyfuss in a mental ward. But there's a thing that goes through this film that Richard Dreyfuss introduces to Bill Murray early on. And it's common in the human affirmation movement, even now, today. And it's this, it's a statement, sort of a mantra. Every day, in every way, I'm becoming better and better. And Richard Dreyfuss has Bill Murray repeating this over and over because Bill Murray becomes depressed and anxious and all of these things. And this is supposed to offset that. Every day, in every way, I am becoming better and better. As I said, this is actually truly a popular belief in the human affirmation movement. And the underlying thing is the notion that we are not yet what we are in the process of becoming. A worthy thought, I believe. However, all of this stems, if you think it through, from a somewhat darker understanding, an understanding that we don't know who we really are. And culture serves to reinforce this. Culture serves to raise all of these questions about who we are, and culture endeavors to answer that for us. Let me just give you a few really quick for instances from some relatively recent self-help magazines. Women, you come first. We've got a little thing for you. If you are unsure of who you are, we're going to help you here this morning. Could I have that first slide, please? No, not that first. That first one, okay? So if you're unsure of yourself, right, we're going to watch your weight fall this season if you go to this Medi, right? You need a little help figuring out who you are, that we're going to help you, right? And next, if you're really still concerned, this Linda M. McCarthy here, she's going to help you learn how to reframe your thoughts to create an exciting new reality, right? Culture has help for you. Don't despair. What's next here? Oh, yeah, here. Now, this is, it looks like it's an ad for shoes, but it's actually an ad for a credit card. Or a shopping channel, I guess. But if you turn to that channel or you use that card, obviously you're going to get a whole bunch of shoes and you're going to become famous and appear on TV. So if that's your desire, stick with us. Let's see, what's next? Oh, yeah, here's another one. Now, if you're unsure of who you are and you want to become an angel, you go see this woman here. She's going to get you a white dress and you'll be on your way. What's next? Oh, yeah. And if you don't want to be an angel, if you want to blast your belly fat and look better naked, get this magazine. All right, now men, you're not. This doesn't just apply to the women. No. If you have some question about who you are and what you need to do to be better and more acceptable, we've got help for you here this morning. Okay, you buy one of these watches and this jacket and these boots, and you are going to become a rugged man. Okay, stick with me. I'm just trying to help you here. Just trying to help you. Okay, here, now, this sport coat and perhaps the hairdo in the 5 o'clock shadow beard is going to make you tough, to swagger, and be confident. Okay, so Larry, you look a little timid this morning. Kathy, will you take him for that sport coat right after it? Down at the bottom, it tells where it's available. Okay, next, let's see. Oh, yeah. Everyone decided to come back to your place. You want to be popular? You want everybody to come back to your place? There, that's all you need, right? Okay. Oh, yeah. And here, if you buy this infinity, you will be in no one's shadow. That's the promise. So just trying to help you here. Just trying to help you. Now, there's one more. This is absolutely my favorite. And it puts it all in one basket for you. There you go, right? There you are. All you need to do is kind of surround yourself in that fashion and then just kind of prop yourself up in bed. you'll be good to go. Okay? Amen. I'm done. Here's the point. Here's the point. I hope it's funny. I laughed. But in the face of the overpowering force of culture, it's easy to lose sight of who we really are. Right? Who we really are. Rob Bell, who himself has lost sight of who he is, I think, says, we need to be saved from all the lies we've believed about who God made when God made us. We need to be saved from all the lies we've believed about who God made when God made us. You just saw all the lies. There's the truth right there. You saw the truth lived out up here a minute or two ago. What did God say to Jesus coming up out of the water? You are my beloved son. That's our identity. That's who we are. This text this morning, I think, provides a really powerful corrective to all these notions that culture wants to foist off on us about what we need to be, who it is that culture says we need to become. We don't need any of that. We don't need to become anything. When Jesus comes up out of the water and that spirit descends on him like a dove and the voice comes from heaven, first time we hear the voice of God. In Mark's gospel, in Hebrew, it's known as the bath coal, the voice from heaven. The voice comes down and the voice tears heaven apart to make it clear to those on earth, especially that one rising out of the water. You are my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. This is the divine voice. And the first word it speaks in Mark's gospel is a word of blessing. A word of blessing. Paul goes on, picks this up, sends the good news to the church in Ephesus. He says, there is one body and one spirit. You heard this earlier. One body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us, he says, was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. These are our baptismal blessings. An understanding, a clear understanding of who we are and a clear blessing that goes with it to take that person out into the world and share faith. The Message version fleshes out what this means for us in its interpretation of Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. This is what Paul says in the translation by Eugene Peterson. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we're lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we're raised out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father, so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. So that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country in this light filled world. You don't need a car. You don't need a white dress. You don't need a bottle of tequila. Well, maybe you need a bottle of tequila. Your identity has been assured. Your identity has been made. You have been claimed. You see, we share in Christ's baptism. Jackson shared in Christ's baptism today. It was the same baptism. It was the water. It was the words. And more importantly, it was the Spirit. And the voice speaks a blessing to us. It speaks that same blessing to us that it did to Jesus. It says, you are the beloved. You are my son. You are my daughter in whom I am well pleased. God is making a choice for us, you see. We are chosen in that instant. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are the beloved. It's a simple message, but it's so important. And the world seeks so to drown it out, to shove it down, to oppress it, depress it, repress it. We need to lift it up. We need to embrace it. We need to go forward in its strength. We need to look at one another and say, I am the beloved. That's who I am, at the heart of who I am. That's our identity. That's who we are, the beloved of God. Too often we let the world drown out that voice of blessing, strip it away from us and confuse us. I remember reading a story. This is a true story. This is when the second George Bush was president. And he went on a photo opportunity to an elderly folks home, and he went into the memory care center, probably a big mistake on his part. And he walked up to a lady, and she was just sort of sitting there idly with her head nodding, and he walks up in front of her and he says, ma'am, do you know who I am? And she looked at him for a minute, and she said, no, but there's a woman at the desk over there that can tell you. The world wants to steal our identity. The world wants to tell us who we are. And we see it more clearly in society now. We hear it, see it more clearly in culture now as we scream at one another from the opposing parties on the hilltops about what we believe and what's important and who we are. And we never meet in the middle. I am what I do, the world tells us. God says, not so. You are my beloved. You are who I made you to be. I am what others say I am, the world tells us. Not so, says God. You are my beloved. You are exactly whom I made you to be. I am what I possess, says the world. Not so, says God. You are my beloved. You are who I made you to be. The world, you see, is conditional. The world is conditional. Your belovedness depends on things, what you have, what you do, what you say. God's love is unconditional. It's unequivocal, and it's so clear. You are my beloved. Question is, deep in your spirit, deep down inside, who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to believe? I pray this day that you will hear the voice of God coming down as it did over Jackson just a few minutes ago. And saying again what it first said to Jesus, you are my beloved. Arlene and I went to a Presbytery meeting yesterday, and we heard a guy who was a very good speaker. I really enjoyed him. We both took some stuff away from it, but here's a piece that I stole from him, but I'm going to share it with you. When you get up in the morning and you'll go stand and look in the mirror, who do you see? What is your identity that stares back at you? Do you look and you say, I see a Republican or I see a Democrat? Do you look and say, I see a liberal or I see a conservative? Do you look and see, I see a white man or I see a black man or I see a brown man? Do you look and do you see, I see a Christian, I see a Jew, I see a Muslim? Is that what you see? Do you look and you see, I see someone that's influential, or do you look and see someone that's insignificant? Is that what you see? What you should see, what's so clear in that mirror, is that you are the beloved of God. Above, beyond, before any of that other nonsense, you are the beloved of God. That's who you are at your most fundamental. God says, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter through adoption by Jesus Christ. You are entirely sufficient, and you are entirely loved, just as you are. Walter Brueggemann sees God at work. He says this, "The world for which you have been so carefully prepared is being taken away from you by the grace of God." The world that wants you to believe all that other stuff, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, Muslim, Jew, whatever, the world that wants to have you fall into one of those identities is being taken away from you by the grace of God, who says, here's your world. Here's all you need to know. I love you. You are my beloved. He's not talking here, Brueggemann isn't, about robbery. He's talking about relinquishment. He's not talking about loss. He's talking about gain. God's voice is heard audibly only two times in Mark's entire gospel. And guess what it says? Both times it says the same thing. It says, I love you. In Acts 2, Peter invites us into a new world of baptism in Jesus Christ. He says, for the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls. Did you hear that? The promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, for all whom the Lord our God calls. That's the promise of your identity. So today, as we baptize him, let us tell little Jackson clearly who he really is. He is a beloved Son of God. And may we, all of us, never cease in reminding him of this precious identity. What's more, let us remember in this sacrament our own baptism, and let us remember it with joy. Let us hear again that voice from heaven speaking life and identity into us. And let us remember all of us who we truly are, the beloved sons and daughters of God. Amen. Let us take a moment and listen in silence to what the Spirit may be saying to each of us.